You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
And myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Alrighty, good evening. Glad to see you guys in here tonight. It's the 3rd of December, and it's Wednesday, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. We got a ton of stuff to talk about here. We had a good time last night. We got drifted off into a whole bunch of different gun-related topics, so that's never a bad thing. We've got a combat medic class coming up here at the end of the month, 27th to 28th, right here in Vernon. It's filling up pretty fast. I know most of you in the chat room and around the country are not anywhere as near here, but if you are in Arizona, western New Mexico, southern Utah, Colorado, this class is well worth it. This is the same class. Well, I'm not even going to tell you what we're charging for it, but if you want to get in on it, call me. I'll give you a coupon code that you put in, and you get a tremendously slashed price to get in this class. And then we have the Personal Defense Handgun 2, which is going to be held right outside of Yakima, Washington, and that will be on the 14th and 15th, right after the I Will Not Comply rally. We Will Not Comply rally up in Olympia. So Yakima is not as close as I thought it was, but Yakima is going to be it's about 2.5 hours to the where we're going to be shooting from Olympia. So we'll head on over there. Jason and I will head over there that night, Saturday night, and be ready to hit it hard Sunday morning. This is an unusual class. We've never done this before. It's going to be a Sunday and Monday, but those folks up there take their training seriously, and they're prepared to whatever days we could do it. They knew that the rally was important. They knew that I can't just run back up there the following weekend, so they said, okay, fine, we'll just call in and make it happen. And they are. So glad to see that. I'm really happy to see people take their training seriously. I guess you guys saw where the who was it? What was his name? Hang on a second, and I'll get it for you. It was Eric something. The guy that the cop just got off scot-free for choking him to death. It was Eric somebody. Anyway, we talked about the episode, the event, when it happened, and the guy was selling loose cigarettes, and the cop got a hold of him, and one thing led to another, and he literally choked him to death. Eric Garner is who it was. This was in New York. So imagine my surprise. But the cop was not indicted, and it seems to me like a clear-cut case of murder. At the very least, voluntary manslaughter. But it seems that the trying to get an indictment against the guy that filmed the encounter, all this was on film. There was a guy that captured all this with his phone or camera, one or the other, and they're trying to indict him. There's, you don't need no stinking First Amendment here, but let's see, was indicted this past August, 13 days after being arrested and charged with felony counts of third-degree criminal possession and criminal firearm possession. Criminal weapon possession and criminal firearm possession. I don't know what the difference is. But authorities argued that the guy had stuffed an unloaded gun inside another person's waistband outside the hotel. But he said the charges against him were trumped up in retaliation for filming the cop being grabbed from behind, Garner, Eric Garner, being grabbed from behind by this officer. The city's medical examiner determined the Garner's death was homicide by chokehold. So, explain to me how they determine that it's homicide by chokehold. How do you justify the use of lethal force when you come up behind somebody and choke them down? He said, the guy that filmed this said, when they searched me, they didn't find nothing on me. And the same cop that searched me, he told me clearly himself that karma is a, well, you know what karma is. Said, what goes around comes around. I had nothing to do with this. I would be stupid to walk around with a gun on after me being in the spotlight. And anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how this turns out. Now, I don't know. And there has been some pretty serious protests and lots of arrests and all that going on there. New York City has not been burnt to the ground yet. Now, this one... was not even questionable. This was a clear-cut case of murder. And I guess the folks in New York have a little more restraint than the folks in Ferguson do, evidently, or something. I don't know what's going on. But we'll keep an eye on that and see what's happening with it. Little surprised, though, that turned out that way. Let's see, stand by here. Okay, that can wait. There's a, you guys might have seen this on Facebook or something, there's a guy out there, you know, these people are so stupid that it hurts. You know, did you see the guy with the sign out there that said something about, hell, I forgot, I wasn't even going to talk about it, and then it just came to mind here. About mama expecting their son to be shot every time he robs a store. I'll have to find that sign. Then there's another one here. The T-shirt says, "You can tell how illiterate these people are." It doesn't say "I'd rather." It says, "I rather get stopped by ISIS terrorist than Ferguson PD." We get the idea of the, you know, the message there. But the grammar is a little, it lacks a little to be desired. But I don't know what to think about this deal in Ferguson. I don't understand what they are so set on seeing this cop hang. He's already quit his job and everything. Matter of fact, there's some. The Fraternal Order of Police evidently is providing free security for Darren Wilson, and I think quitting was a bad move, because I don't know what the laws are there, but he had as a cop, as long as he stayed there, he had taxpayer paid security and a job and getting a check. And the ability to carry concealed weapon, you know, anytime, anywhere. And when he quit the police force, you know, that probably changed that just a little bit. Missouri's not got too bad gun laws, but I don't know if he had to wait to secure a permit and all that, or how that's working out for him. But I don't get these people that, regardless of the amount of facts, why would they have all of these facts and video and eyewitnesses and all of this time that they spent, the grand jury spent on this, determining that Darren Wilson hadn't done anything wrong, and that he was in fact attacked and he did use justifiable use of lethal force. And you have this other cop in New York that clearly murdered this kid, and they're not nearly as excited there as they were in Ferguson. The rights at risk, it may be, you know, chokeholds may be illegal, But that's what the coroner said, that it was death, homicide by chokehold. It's exactly what the, how it's worded. So, I don't know. I guess he should have been indicted, but clearly he wasn't. So, yeah, there's an agenda of some kind going on there. I don't know what the deal is. It is very puzzling and very disturbing to me that this kind of stuff goes on. And a complete polar opposite of what should be happening there. And then we have Ottawa, Canada. Police shot an unarmed teen. Now he was white, so that really doesn't, you know, give him a whole lot to complain about. 18 years old, unarmed, by the way. Shot him 16 times. 16 times while the family was standing right there begging him not to do it. Said the family said there was no gun. Well, the police were called 8 o'clock in the evening on a report that somebody reportedly armed with a gun. The family said there was no gun. Said the officers did what they were trained to do. They reacted based upon the training that they've been given from the academy. We were thankful that no officer was injured from protecting themselves from risk of great bodily harm. You know, that's the kind of stuff they make up for the press. And so this guy threatened them. How? He's not all that big. He's not a Michael Brown. He was described as a, and they always say this, though, a really good boy. But he suffered from depression, anxiety, and horrible seizures, which led him to becoming, led to him becoming suicidal. 2 days before being shot, he tried to take his own life. He released the following statement on his Facebook page prior to ingesting 60 pills. Tonight is the night. Goodbye, everyone. It is truly a good ride, and I'm sorry for who I might have hurted and people that I may have offended, but I love all my family, and I hope you don't hold this against me. The two officers were involved in the shooting were also present when the kid was taken to the hospital for an overdose. 3 hours after leaving the hospital, guy walked to Farm and Home, whatever it is, some kind of store, I guess. Smith said he was there on a suicide mission. Let's see. Smith's husband also tried to stop the police from shooting him. He was told to stop or he would be shot too. My husband was going to tackle him. He was within arm's reach. They said get back or they were going to shoot him. So it looked to me like they were dead set on shooting him. Here's what the cop said. Here's what the cop yelled out. And I quote, bag him. Cop said bag him and then shot three shots were fired. I just don't know how many shots were fired. They shot him in the back of the leg, in the back of the shoulder. Police were the last people to call. They said police are the last people to call when a family member is suicidal. How many stories have we gone through here that cops have come to somebody that was suicidal and not even have a weapon or have a knife and be, you know, 20 yards away or whatever it was. And they wind up, you know, I'm going to kill you if you kill yourself. If you act like you're going to kill yourself, I'm going to kill you for doing it. And we've had that happen time and time again. You know, Obama said something here a few days ago about not, you know, thinking that the police have gone too far with their militarization, that he's going to demilitarize, or was entertaining notions in some way. I don't think we'll ever see a thing from it. I think he said exactly what everybody wanted to hear and get him a few brownie points, but I don't think we'll see one tiny little bit of action out of it. But yeah, rights at risk, I saw that. Passed all these laws. You know, this was just another false flag up there while Ferguson was, everything was going on here. He was just signing, working that pen just as fast as he could go. And, anyway. the, you know, many we talked about that, I think it was in a different situation, I think. We did talk about the chokeholds not being allowed to be used by NYPD. That's why I find it hard to believe that they didn't indict this guy when the coroner stated in his report that the guy, the cause of death was homicide by chokehold. And that's a direct quote. And why nothing was done about that, I have no earthly idea. It's beyond me. All right, well, stand by here just a little bit. And I'll be back here in a second. For a few seconds.
Well, it's two eggs up on whiskey toast, home fries on the side. Wash it down with the roadhouse coffee, burns up your insides. It's just a canyon dollar at the diner, and a waitress I did love. I sat in the back beneath an old stuffed bear and a worn-out Navajo rug. Now old Jack, the boss, he left at six, and it's Katie by the door. She pulled down that Navajo rug and spread it across the floor. Hey, I saw lightning cross the sacred mountains, saw the woven turtle dust. But I was lying next to Katie on that old Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie, she's red and blue. Aye, 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 Katie, wherever you came from the Navajo. Well, I saw old Jack about a year ago. He said the place burned to the ground. And all I say with this old bare tooth, Katie, she's left town. Papa Katie, she got her souvenir too, Jack's mad at tobacco plug. Well, you should have seen her coming through the smoke, a dragging that Navajo rug. Aye, 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 Katie. She's the red and blue, aye, 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 Katie. Whatever became of the Navajo rug and you? So every time I cross the sacred mountains and lightning breaks above, it always takes me back in time to my long lost Katie love. But everything keeps on a move. Everybody's on the go. Hey, you don't find things that last anymore like an old Navajo. Aye, 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 hey, she's red and blue. Aye, 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 hey, whatever became of the Navajo rug and you? Hey, she's red and blue. Aye, 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 hey, whatever became.
All right, I'm in trouble again. Looks like must not have been gone too long. I don't see too much. Let me check here. Right. Okay. We have we went through a whole list of country music stars here. Oh, what's it been? Maybe probably a year ago. Quite a list of them that were liberal, anti-gun, liberal pukes. And Garth Brooks was on that list, which makes a lot of people unhappy. A lot of people like Garth Brooks, and he's got some songs that are okay. However, it's come to a point now that I can't even stand to listen to him. I won't. Of course, it doesn't do any good and doesn't accomplish anything to turn the radio off while you're driving down the road, but I sure wouldn't spend a penny on him. I don't know if you guys have heard about this story, but he canceled an appearance on the Tonight Show to show solidarity with the rioters at Ferguson. Can you believe that? This guy is, now, there's not, that I'm aware of, any cowboys, not one, that are liberals. I have never heard of one, never met one. All of the many, many cowboys that I know, not nary one of them is anywhere as close to anything that you would call liberal. Not a one of them can mention Obama's name without a little bit of vomit coming up in their throat. Not one of them would approve of what's going on in Ferguson. Garth Brooks canceled a Tonight Show appearance. And, you know, he's got enough money, he doesn't care. But you don't go to these things out of the goodness of your heart. You know, they were certainly paying him to be there. But evidently he decided that not going because of what was going on in Ferguson was a better deal. He said it would be distasteful to perform given the events in Ferguson. Unbelievable. That would have been a Thanksgiving episode of the Tonight Show. evidently, Garth Brooks is honoring the call here of these black power groups and the Revolutionary Communist Party has been urging the supporters of Ferguson to shut America down. Well, it looks like Garth Brooks is going to do just that. So be careful who you spend your money with. Check and see. I hear that I haven't proven it yet, but I hear that Brad Paisley is among them there. I know Shania Twain's in there. And it's disturbing to me. But let's see. I'm trying to check up on the chat room here. By the way, if you guys, I hope that some of you remember Tundra Bore. I talked to Tundra Bore today, and I thought he was mad at us, but he says this time schedule just won't work for him, and he still keeps up with all of the shows, all the podcasts, and so he is. I may swing by and see him on the way back from Olympia. And he's also looking at, you know, Rights at Risk. That is right. I forgot about that. Brad Paisley did sing at the inauguration. The Tundra Bore is looking at moving to, or having at least a winter home here in Arizona. He's coming down here sometime over the next couple of 3 months and look around at some places to live. So that'll be cool. And you know, Drumjaw is headed out here. He's already bought a place, probably only about 25 miles or so from where I'm at right now. So Arizona's a happening thing, happening place. Edge of the Woods just came in. The Edge of the Woods, we got we're getting continuing good news on the class here. The 27th and 28th, so we look forward to that for sure. Okay, here's something. It's not gun-related, not survival-related, not liberty-related, but I couldn't resist throwing this in there. The king of conspiracy theories, Alex Jones, apparently is the main player, the top dog on the totem pole in a conspiracy theory. Actually, they say he is the long-dead Texas comedian Bill Hicks. Well, I'm going to put a picture in the chat room. You guys tell me what you think about this picture. let's see if this works here. Yeah, there you go. Check that out. What do you think? I don't know. The one on the left's a little younger, looks like. But there's... I don't listen to him at all, not even a little bit. If I hear one syllable of his voice, I shut it off before I hear any more of it. But I couldn't resist throwing this out there. I think it's kind of funny. I'm not even going to read the whole thing. It's not worth spending any time on. But anyway, we've got. Oh, I can't tell you that. I was going to say I have some other gun related news here, but I'm going to have to wait a couple of weeks to share that. So what was it we talked about? Last thing we talked about last night. There was something I wanted to add on that, and I don't remember what it was. You played. Oh, Rights at Risk. You know, you're right. I do have that one gun control thing that I play. I've played it twice ever since I've had it here. And I forgot about that. Anyway, the BB burner. I don't know why you can't see the picture. I see the picture. Did anybody else not see the picture? Looks like it's working fine to me. I don't know. I can post it again and see what happens. All right. Stand by here. Well, I see what's happening here. I'm going to have a little issue here, so stand by a little bit. It's going to take me a few minutes to get this resolved. I don't even know if you can hear me anymore.
South Alabama, her daddy had a heart like a 9-pound hammer. Think he even did a little time in the slammer. What was I thinking? She snuck out one night and met me by the front gate. Her daddy came out waving that 12-gauge. We tore out the drive, he peppered my tailgate. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay, but that crossed my mind a little too late. 'Cause I was thinking that a little white tank top sitting right there in the middle by me. I was thinking about a long kiss, man, just gotta get going where the night might mean. I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking? What was I thinking? By the county line, the cops were nipping on. Kicked it in four wheels, shut off the lights and tore through a cornfield. What was I thinking? Out the other side, she was hollering faster. Took the dirt road, had the radio blasting. Hit the honky-tonk for a little close dancing. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay, but that crossed my mind a little too late. 'Cause I was thinking about a little white checked out sitting right there in the middle by. Kill tattoo, tried to cut in, I knocked out his front tooth. We ran outside, hood sliding like Bo Duke. What was I thinking? I finally got her home at a 2:30. Later, daddy's in a lawn chair sitting on the driveway. Put it in park as he started my way. What was I thinking? Oh, what was I thinking? Oh, what was I thinking? Then she gave a come and get me grin, and like a bullet we were gone again. 'Cause I was thinking about a little white tank top sitting right there in the middle by me. I was thinking about a long kiss, man, just gotta get going where the night might lead. I know what I was feeling. Yeah, I know what I was feeling.
Now, just 2 days after Michael Brown was killed, all the outrage and protests and riots and everything, there was another young man. He was white. Executed, murdered by police in Salt Lake City. His name was Dylan Taylor. He's 20 years old. And on the 11th of August, him and his brother and his cousin were coming out of a 7-Eleven in the Salt Lake area there, where police were searching for someone who'd been waving a gun around. And these totally uninvolved young men, apparently, according to the cops, matched the description. When they come out of the convenience store, they were surrounded by cops in order to show their hands. Two of the men stopped and complied. Dylan Taylor, having ear things in his ear and listening to music, didn't hear them and kept walking. 40 seconds went by, and he's approached by... from the time that he's approached until he's shot by the cop. Police said to me he was ordered to stop and show his hands. The cop says that the kid said, "No, fool." And apparently this is punishable by death. His brother and cousin maintained that he was doing nothing but trying to pull up his pants. So they said that he couldn't hear him. He had guns pointed at his face, and that's when he turned off the music. I saw them point the gun at my brother's face, and I knew what was going to happen. One officer told Taylor to get on the ground. Another one told him to put his hands on his head. He got confused. He went to pull up his pants to get on the ground, and they shot him. And, you know, this kind of thing is just happening way, way too damn often right here. And it frustrates me because I don't know... We're seeing in our history books and everything we hated the Nazis, we hated the brown shirts because of what they did and how they treated people and everything. Folks, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it appears to me that the exact same thing is happening right here to us right now, from coast to coast, from one end of the country to the other. And it's happening daily. Yeah, I know. I get it. That there's good ones out there. I know there is. And we see some of the things that they do. Of course, it doesn't get as much press as the others. But I'm sure there's still more good ones than there are bad. But there's enough bad ones that there are stories like this that happen that's published every stinking day. Unarmed people, unarmed kids, children, little girls, old men, crippled men, vets, disabled vets. Every day. So I'm struggling with this. I don't hear there's only so much you can say legally before they just come in and black bag you and haul you off. Minnie just posted something about a man using a McChicken as a weapon. Brand new story. I'm going to check on that. I don't usually click on stories that come up in the chat room because I don't have time to read them. But this, here's, let's see. Picky eater jailed Tuesday reportedly used McDonald's McChicken sandwich as a weapon against his pregnant wife. I'm not sure how that worked out. 21 years old, admitted to police that he threw the sandwich at his wife because he doesn't like him. Arrested for simple domestic assault and taken to the Polk County Jail. Hill said his wife woke him up around 1 p.m. with a McChicken in hand. He admitted to police he became upset and threw the sandwich at her, then picked up some of the bun and threw it at her again. Woman went to the bathroom to clean herself up. Hill followed her and began recording her using his cell phone, which he later shared with police. In the video, police saw the woman knock the phone out of his hands. Wife had mayonnaise on her shirt and face when it, you got to be kidding me. This is guy's still in custody for throwing a sandwich. It sounds like that there's probably more issues than just throwing the sandwich. Sounds like he's pretty violent and probably just as well off in jail. But this particular incident in and of itself is not an offense that I would think would be something you'd throw somebody in jail over. But I know a guy, and I've told you before, that kid up in Wyoming yanked the phone out of his girlfriend's hand, and the prosecutor there, or the judge, ruled that that was an extension of her body, extension of her arm, or extension of her whatever. And when he yanked that phone, he didn't hit her with it, didn't throw it, didn't do anything. He just yanked it out of her hand to keep her from making a call. And he lost his gun rights forever, due to the Lautenberg Act, just for yanking the phone out of there. Didn't hurt her, didn't touch her, didn't strain or sprain anything, didn't bruise anything, no scratches, no nothing. Just grabbed the phone, pulled it out of her hand. And he lost his gun rights. They literally took his guns away. So, but all this kind of stuff is driving me nuts. And what I don't get here is the fact that there's we see on the news, mainstream news, almost daily, of cops that are getting away with murder. I mean, literally, they're justifying everything that they do. We've heard of a couple of them here over the last two or three weeks. We had a couple of where the cops had done something like that and were jailed or arrested, fired, you know, whatever. And that's a good thing. But for every one of those we hear, you know, 20 or 30 or 50 of them that they're justifying their actions when they are clearly, without a doubt, not justified. But we see it all the time. And there's no outrage. You know, there's no burning buildings down and protesting and rioting and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing going on. Except the black guy in Ferguson. And we have black, white, brown, yellow, red being killed daily for anything from no reason at all to very minimal, certainly not executing offenses. There's been some where, you know, with minor shoplifting, jaywalking, things like that, you know, being told to stop. If you don't stop, I realize what the rules are. When the cop says stop, you're supposed to stop. Now, if you want to test that and keep walking when they tell you to stop and see if they shoot you, then, you know, you go right ahead. But the rules are that if they tell you to stop, you're supposed to stop. But if you don't stop, if you haven't done anything, and they tell you to stop, and you're just walking down the street, can we really be expected to be shot in the back for not stopping? And apparently that's what happened to this kid in Salt Lake City. Is that what we are to expect? And, you know, maybe if you are a dead ringer, you know, you match the description of a mass murderer that just got through killing 18 women with a machete and everything, you know, maybe you can see why you're supposed to stop when they say stop. But whatever happened to running the guy down and grabbing him and putting cuffs on him? I realize that there's a lot of cops out there that are probably not physically able to do that and probably shouldn't try when they are alone. But nevertheless, I don't think that always being not stopping when they tell you to stop is something you should be shot in the back for. The yeah, many we talked about that here on the show about that dog that was running away, and that's not the only one. There's been two or three of them that were trying to get away. There's been others that were laying down, minding their own business. One was laying down on the other side of the bedroom in a house, wasn't barking and didn't get up, and they shot him anyway, just because he was there. So I say again, how much different, as we look at our history books and we're so disgusted by the things that happened, so infuriated by the number of murders that the Gestapo, the brown shirts committed in 1938, 1940, 45 Germany. Tell me why it's so different now here. They, I'm sure that they were raised like we were, and there were probably before, you know, prior to 1938, maybe there were, you know, maybe there was, you know, Sergeant Schultz down on the corner right there that helped the kids find their way home and you know, helped the old lady across the street with her groceries and all that. But, the German people probably remembered some of that, and it took them a little while to come to the realization of what was going on in their country, in their cities, with their police and whatnot. I'm wondering when or if the American people will come to the same realization that you are every bit as apt to be shot in the back by. Now, let me jump in here again. I don't believe for one second. Matter of fact, I vehemently do not believe that all cops are that way. I'll tell you that I know some that are fine, absolutely upstanding, dripping with integrity and honesty, and I know quite a few of them that way. And I've talked to them, and I feel for them, because they have a very tough road to hoe. And I've asked them, man, why don't you just quit? Why don't you? Yeah, T-Dog, yes, that is C50. Yes, that is a valid snail mail address. That's exactly right. So, and I said, why don't you just quit? You know, you see what's going on around you. You see what your superiors are doing. You see what some of your fellow officers do. And you're having to do things that you don't believe in and disagree with. You're violating the Constitution day after day. And now I know one that was with the Arizona Highway Patrol here, Department of Public Safety, whatever you call them. And he flat refused to give tickets for seatbelts. He said, I just won't do it. He said, that's where I said, I draw the line. I got to draw the line somewhere, and that's my line. He said, I'm not going to do it. Okay. T-Dog, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that very much. The and Hopper, I do know a couple that have quit. And there's one of them right down here in Sholo. I have talked to three of them that are in this area that have said, I won't tell you what town they're in, But they've said, you know, if it comes down to it and the balloon goes up and all that, he said, we will take over. And he said, we will put our badges down. And one of them said he'd put his badge down. The other two saying that they would use their badge to make arrests within the department and make sure that law and order was still upheld, but that there wouldn't be any unconstitutional gun grabs or anything going on. So there's hope. I mean, there's good, and there's a lot of good sheriffs. We're seeing a hell of a lot of sheriffs now that are stepping up, putting their best foot forward, and doing the right thing. A lot of sheriffs, and we can thank Sheriff Mack for helping to get that movement going with the Constitutional Sheriff Program. So when I talk about this thing with the cops, don't you think for a damn minute, and don't you go tell anybody that I mean all of them, because I damn sure don't. I do not, by any remote stretch of the imagination, mean to think that all or even most of them are that way. I think there's a lot that are sitting on the fence. They go to work from day to day and then just kind of close their eye, turn a blind eye to what's going on, do the job, put in their time, and go home. Frankly, I don't know how they live with themselves. There's others that fight it tooth and nail and stay just right on the edge of being suspended, you know, half the time, because they won't do certain things. And there's others that, like the cop said a while ago, bag him. They're just looking for a reason. They're just out there, and they know they're going to be backed up and fully justified. Okay, just shoot him. There was, what was one here a while back? We talked about the cop that was on his way. He was going to, he told it on camera, on the video, that he had gone to this place with the intention. He said, I've been here before, I've done this. He said, I don't remember what the exact words was. He said, I'm going to shoot that dog. And we have the other one that cut the dog's throat. Remember, they had that pit bull down, and he cut his throat. Now, you tell me how it is justified, and what makes you think if your life is in danger that you need to cut a dog. You already got him down. You're holding him down. And you're going to cut his throat? Folks, there is something exceedingly wrong with that. And I was talking to some guys today, you know, and these conversations are going on from coast to coast. They're going on all over the country. And I said, you know, we need, like it or not, we need cops out there. We need the good ones. There are things, laws that need to be enforced, and we can't get along very well in a large community with no law enforcement whatsoever. You can do that in rural areas, but there needs to be somebody to call, you know, if something happened. But and the general consensus there of these four people that were standing around talking was that it seemed like it probably wasn't going to be too long before the one guy said, well, what if these cops went out to work during the day and didn't come home at night? And another one said, well, I don't think it's going to be that long till something like that happens. So neither one of them talked like, you know, any kind of threatening at all. Matter of fact, one of them was damn crippled up. He was a Vietnam vet, and he was so damn crippled up he couldn't do anything if he wanted to. But nevertheless, those types of conversations, I think, are going on all over the country. So My thoughts behind this are, if you are in law enforcement and you believe in what you're doing, you believe in the Constitution, then you need to strive to take charge, be a leader of your department, and try to get it squared away or get out. Just, you know, the bad thing about getting out, it's going to be just like the Republican Party. All the good ones quit. They say the Republican Party left me. No, actually, you left the Republican Party instead of trying to fix it and get it done right. The same thing is going to happen to law enforcement if all the good cops decide to quit. What does that leave us? It leaves the same thing the Republican Party left us, a bunch of liberals. And if all the good, honest, true blue cops decide to leave, then that's going to leave us with the ones that cut dogs' throats and hold little girls in their panties on the floor by submachine gun fire. I don't know. I'm getting so pissed I can't talk. So it's 9:59 here in the Rocky Mountain West. So I'm getting my tongue over my eye teeth and can't see what I'm saying. So I think I probably just better call it quits before I say something that I'm not supposed to. So with all that being said, tomorrow night's gun night. You guys have some questions ready for us, and let's have a good time and see if we can get away from some of this stuff and see if we can finish the whole show without getting mad. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific time for the Shooting Bench right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Thank you.